problem that we spoke about yesterday is that Mishnah and Tetzaveh both. And one of the early Pesukim in the Sedra says, "Vayeme Elov Hashem, Hashem appears to Avram Avinu." And then Avram Avinu sees the three gifts. "Vayomar, Adonai, no Mitzvotchem Yonech, Al Not Avor Me'al Avdecha." So he says, "Al Zalman Yud." That's the plural. No, not Adonai. Says Adonai, and he's speaking to one person. He says plural, and then he says singular. Non tzachem b'yenecho, anot tzavor me'al abdechem. He doesn't say non tzachem b'yenechem, anot tzavor me'al abdechem. So who is he speaking to? The Pashem Shai is speaking to the Rebbe Shlom. All of the other unit is Kodesh. But Rashi quotes the Machlokes HaTanai from the end of Shavuos. The one in the end of Shavuos speaks about the din of Shavuos B'Shem. So the Mishnah speaks about the Zayin Shem Hashem in the Chofim. The Gemara has a bright that there are certain Shemes that a Chodesh has that you're not permitted to destroy. The din of Lotatim Kehim Hashem Lokech says in the Pasuk that the Baratim Hashemam in Amach Mahu, you have to destroy the Shem of the Zohar. Then it says the next Pasuk, Lotatim Kehim Hashem Lokech, you're not permitted to destroy Shem Hashem. That's why the bright speaks of Zayin Shem Hashem in the Chofim, that you're not permitted to erase the Shem. Lotatim Kehim Hashem Lokech goes on other things also. If you're not permitted to throw out the great fairy, you're not permitted to make it seven that I'm there, you're not permitted to destroy your shul and so on. But since the Pshut Hashem Mikra says the Barat and Hashemam, the Sat Hashem Hashem Kehem, so that's why the Brisa speaks about Shem Hashem and Chosim. So the Brisa lists off all the names and says Al Dal Nun Yud there, and sometimes Al Dal Nun Yud is Chol, it appears a lot of times in Tanakh. In Aleph Lamed Hei Yud Mem, Arim Acherim, is a lot of times Chol, it's not always Kodesh. Even Yud Kei Vav Kei, Raman points out and he says in one of the book, Yud Kei Vav Kei in one place is Chol, Chatesol Micho. It's not Kodesh, it's Chol. So each one of the shamans, it depends the Kavanah HaGavre, when the Seker writes the shamans in the Seker Torah, in the Tanakh, in the Dina Tzuvim, in the Tzilat, he has to have in mind the Shem Kodesh. And if it's the Shem Chol, then he's not supposed to have in mind the Shem Kodesh. And if he did have in mind the Shem Kodesh, then it's like writing the wrong word. Let's say you wrote, instead of Vayero, you wrote Lech Lecho. Lech Lecho Elov Hashem, Be'elo Neman. So then it's no good, you wrote the wrong word. But what if you wrote Vayero Elov Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you had in mind Chol, you had in mind over the Zohar. Writing a different word, even though the Yud and the Hei and the Vav, all the letters are the same, but it's a different word. If you have Kavanah for Kodesh and Kavanah for Chol, so that's Kaveh, then it's a different word in Gan. You have to have the right Kavanah, not just you write the Tarach, the way the letters are spelled, and then whatever it means, that's what it means. No. By these shemes, Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph Lamed Hei Yud, Aleph Lamed Hei Yud Mem, that it can be Shin Dalet Yud, you don't find, you don't find that it's called Zechemet. Shin Dalet Yud, you find undercover, Zechemet. They had a complaint against the author when he printed his paper. How did he write the Shem Hashem and the name of the Satan? So they said, what have we got to do with Zechem? So they insisted that he should put Nekudas on it. That's why on the front page, on the Shavlot, on the Zechem, it has Nekudas on the word today. I don't think Achemet doesn't have any Nekudas. There's no issue over there. On this today, he had so many complaints. So he had it when he reprinted it the second time, when he printed the later volumes. He didn't print them all at one time, he printed the first volume. And then all the complaints came in. So then the complaint department decided to put in the kudas in order to stop the problem. So there's some shame that the Kodesh Baruch Hu that are sometimes Kodesh and sometimes false. So here there's a machlokes HaTanaim, a shavuos on that dot, Rashi quotes. The Pashup Shad is that it's Kodesh and he's speaking to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem came to Ukiya to Avraham Avinu and he says, Hashem, and Yom HaTazchem Enach, Amas Avraham Yahu Abdecho. If he says that it's Chol, so then he's speaking, Pashup Shad is speaking to the three Malach, to the three Anoshim, to the three Malach. Instead of speaking to the three, why does he only say in singular? Nom Tosachem B'Enecho, Am Nesavor Mi'al Abdecho. But Rashi says, no, he's speaking to only one of the three. He's speaking to only one of the three. Why did he say, you should say Adonai? Adonai, like in modern Hebrew. Why did he say he Adonai? It's like a plural, which is called. Why did he say, my dear friend, you should say singular? Lashon Kavod, you say in the plural instead of saying in the singular. And why does Itaka only speak to one of the three? Why doesn't he speak Itaka to all three of them? And Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Well, the God Lama is speaking to the greatest of the three, the most prominent of the three. How did you know which one was most prominent? The one who had the beard. The three angels. How did you know which one was more prominent than whom? Walking in the middle. That's what Imara says in humor. The one who walks in the middle is the most prominent. Here, the Torah Pneum is called, so it's like more Pneum, Adap Lam and Zayin. Chim Antinu B'Shloisha Malachim, Michoel B'Emsa Gavrui, meaning it was called Ismola, and he spoke to the one in the middle. He knew that the one in the middle was the most prominent. It's like the Acharet dictates that when three people are going, the most prominent should go in the middle, and the next in line, in the intending order, should go to his right, and the next in line should go to his left. That's how the Gemara is said. There's no minig at all. But the Jewish minig is that the God was set up there, and the most prominent should go in the Tam Derech Eretz, the most prominent should go in the middle. Unless we're throwing garbage down, the most prominent should go further towards the street. That's what it used to be years ago. People used to throw, no, that was the minig in America. People threw garbage out of their window, so it used to be the minig that when a man would be walking with a woman, I think the woman would walk further towards the street to have less chance of garbage falling out of her. No? I think that's where the Herod used to be in America years ago. They quote in the name of the Ritz Gerov a comment on this pasuk. Why is it written Beloshim Yochi? It actually says, Mgadol Shadayim Hayan. He's speaking to the God who is heard of the answer. That's why it's Beloshim Yochi. Once the God was going to say, so the middle of the other two will also say. So they quote in the name of the Ritz Gerov, who are these three Anashim? The Rashi quotes in the Medrash, these were the three Malachim who came, each one was a different Shlichus. Echad Lavasir Asara, they tell Sarah the good news, she's going to have a baby. Yitzchak, Echad Lapach HaZon, to destroy them. Echad Lapach HaZon, to heal Avram, he just had a brisk meal. So the question is, the Malach who came to tell the good news to Sarah, and now she says, Ve'ein Malach Echad Oysa Shtei Shlichuyo. Each Malach only does one job, and then he goes back to heaven. So the Malach who came to give the good news to Sarah that she's going to have a baby, we understand why he knocks on Avram Avinu's door, why he comes to visit Avram. The Malach who comes to heal Avram Avinu, we understand. The Malach who comes to overturn the dome, what's he doing here at the Chmash? So let him go to Sodom. Why is he staying where Avram Avinu for? So they call it to the name of this group, that's why Avram Avinu saw he was walking away. The three were coming together. And then two were going to stay by him, and the third one was going to go on his way to the dome. And he said, no, he started chasing after the guy who was not coming towards him. He said, hey, come over here, you stay here too. The other two for sure were going towards him. And he requested of the third one, come visit by me also. I'll give you a meal. Others also ask that same question. The Malach went to destroy Sodom, so why did he come to visit Avraham Avinu? What's the shot? Why didn't he go to Sodom? The other two, we understand. Why did he have to come to Avraham Avinu? I saw the name of Rav Kook, at Rosh, the name of Kook. I remember I heard this in Observation. He was reading a Ramban, I think. He thought the Ramban had something like that. He said the Malach who came to destroy Sodom really didn't have a right to destroy Sodom so quickly. Just because you see a person doing Averis doesn't necessarily mean that he deserves an Einus. You have to ascertain. Maybe he was Ba'inus, an Einus like Manufacturer. Maybe the circumstances are such that anyone who would live in that area in the world would be full of sin. Maybe the world was so corrupt at that time. Maybe nature was such, Parnassah was there. Maybe times were so hard, there was a depression, they couldn't give any tzedakah to anybody. Maybe they had to make laws that you can't do any tzedakah to anybody, you can't give any salt to anybody, you can't invite any guests in and so on. Maybe that was the nature of the world at that time. So the Malach who went, and if it was so, and if the times were so difficult that it's just impossible to be observant, they're not going to talk about the truth and Briyosa. They're not going to talk about, cannot have any complaints against the human being. We're only human. Let me control Malachi Asher. So the Malach went to destroy Sodom, had a look around first to see, are there any normal people in the world? Are there any people who are decent? But first he comes, Avraham Avinu lived not far from Sodom. So first he comes to Avraham Avinu's home and he sees the man is Kula Chesed. The Chesed is just dripping from him. And he's inviting in the Arabs. He thought that there were Arabs who worship Abu Dazara. He's so kind to everybody else, even kind to the Abu Dazara. and Dokar HaChesed and everything. Very decent person, he's not mean at all. And then he just goes 2 miles away and he thinks that Anshis Dom, Aroi Mahatan, Hashem Yod, but then they deserve punishment. If not for the fact that there was a contrast between Avraham Avinu and Anshis Dom, then Anshis Dom would not have deserved any punishment. But the Malachu, who's going to do the Gemar Din, sort of, has to see whether it's so or not. He has to see whether they really deserve punishment. So his brother sent to Malach, look at Avraham Avinu and look at the Dom, and you see that there's a contrast. After seeing the contrast, then he saw that that there's room for punishment over here. These people are really sinners.
Part of the Malach.
I mean, was the Rebbeinu Shel Olam the judge or was the Malach the judge? So that's what some want to say, that the Malach was sent, because his brother sent the Malach to do the judgment over here. See what you think. And the Malach saw that it is possible to be, you see, some people feel in our generation, it's difficult, how can you be a religious Jew in America, this society is so, the whole world is going in one direction, how can you go in the other direction? As long as there's one Jew who lives in this society, and he's going in the other direction, he's succeeding, that means that we could all do the same thing, unless he's a superhuman being, but he's Superman. But you see that there are religious people who are not Supermen. They're not such super geniuses. You see that there are tzaddikim and tzaddikim, men and women, young and old, all different ages, and they're Americans and they're Europeans who came into this mentality, and this is a different mentality. There are people who are born in America, and they're medaktik in Yirah Shemayim, and medaktik in Nibul Peh, and medaktik in Shmiras HaMitzvahs and everything. Everybody else had the ability to do the same in the same institutions. In the same institution, you have people the same age who follow the Mitzvahs HaTorah. So why couldn't the other person do it? The Kanishka and Paris to say that society is such and that we live in such a difficult world, just you can't do it. You can't do it. That's the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says that Hilu Machayiv Aniyim and Rebbe Machayiv Ashirim. That like this, an usher can have a time there. Wealthy people are such difficult with yearnings, so it's so impossible, it's too difficult for them to observe the Mitzvah Tatera. They have to go to dinners all the time, they have to entertain non-Jewish guests and non-observant guests in their business contacts and this and that. And poor people also sometimes give a terror. They're so poor, they have to work for a living, they can't observe Shabbos properly, they can't observe kashrus. They have to save money by being resolved a little bit on kashrus. So the Gemara says, and how can they learn? How can they have time to learn? They have to work so hard for a living, they have to make ends meet. So the Gemara tells about Hillel. The Hillel was so poor, and he was medaktik in all the mitzvahs, and he had time to learn. And Rebbe was so wealthy, he was the chief rabbi, he was salaried very well by being chief rabbi, but he was so wealthy. So the Gemara says he was rich like Antoninus and Rebbe. They were both very wealthy, and still he found time to learn, and he was medaktik in mitzvahs. So that's what the Gemara has in human. Hillel Machayiv Aniyim. So that's over here, that's the Kavanah. The Malach who entered destroys the Dome. They thought when the Yisro of the Malach went to destroy the Dome, had no shaykhs over here. So the Yisro runs like you, apparently. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo already made the Gemara Din. The Malach didn't have to make the contest. The Rebbeinu Shlomo already saw the contest, and he made the Gemara Din. And others want to say that the Rebbeinu Shlomo sent the Malach to make the Gemara Din. So before the Malach makes the Psach, let's see, is it humanly possible to observe mitzvahs, he takes a look at Avraham, he takes a look at Stein, and they're right near each other. So you see that it is possible. As Rav Soloveitchik used to say as a Malika, and he used to speak often to the Mizrahi, he used to say as a Malika, if I would have been the Rambam, he used to say in Yiddish, I would have written a 14-time Imamim. An Imamim that Amun Shleima, that it's possible to observe the Torah and the mitzvahs in all generations, in all societies, at all times. And the Torah is meaningful at all times. And you shouldn't think the Torah is only meaningful in Europe, and it's only meaningful for people with European mentality and so on. The Torah can be meaningful in any culture, in any civilization, in any part of the world at any time in history. So in this pasuk, there's a machlokes ha'tanaim. How do you read it? Aleph Daled Nun Yud. No matter the chemi and echo. Sometimes I'm hold that it's kodesh, and sometimes I'm hold that it's kol. So what do? For some parts you say, well, write it all tonight. The Sefer should write Yud, Aleph Daled Nun Yud, and have in mind, or say, that there, tonight, if when the Rebbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu should write down this pasuk, if the intention was that it's Kodesh, he has in mind to be Mekadesh. If the intention was, if the Rebbeinu Shlomo's intention was that it's Kol, then he wants it not to be Kodesh. So the question is, can you do that? Can you write? Can you have a Kavona Allah tonight? The Gemara says that Chalitza is later than tonight. You cannot make Chalitza Allah tonight.
chalitza tzicha kavana, the Gemara says chalitza is only matel ashuk. If you have ashi ainu materisli matel ashuk, ashi is kavan shneim, ashi is kavan who, ashi is kavan he. If the yavam had kavana when the yavama takes off the shoe from the yavama's right foot, if the yavama had intention that by removing his shoe from his right foot, she's going to be materisli matel ashuk, but he didn't have in mind, she's asura. Or if he had in mind, she didn't have in mind, she's asura ashuk. She's only materisli matel ashuk. It goes to the other man, Yavama had Kavana, Lahatira, Lahinasi, Lashuk. And even though the Gemara says the Seir, that's an Aleir Zaf in Peret Mitzvah Chalit in Yavama. Even though they didn't change the Seir, that she's Kavnishne, still the Gemara says in the same Peret, in Exodus, that Chalit cannot be done a lot tonight. So the question is, why not? Even though you don't need Das, on Pidin, you don't need Das for Chalit, you cannot make a Shliya. So why can't you make it all up tonight? It's even in Marv, that even though you need Kavana, since you don't need Das Al Pidin, you don't need Das Bailin, you cannot be Makula tonight. So the Chur over here also, when you write Seamus and he says, it's not a Din Das Bailin, you're not a Bailin over anything. You need Kavana Tasefer, Kavana Takavan. And he's writing the Seamus, he has to be Kaveh, whether it is UK Vodke, around 1,000 euros, or this Aleph Lamed, or whatever it happens to be, the Shin Dalad Yud, is it a Shem Kodesh or a Shem Chol? So how can you have Kavana Allah tonight? That's the question. So if you can't have it tonight, so what does the Sefer do? So how do we task him? Some parts would say you write Allah tonight. That's that. Highly questionable whether that's legitimate. Chumash continues to tell the story the way Avraham Avinu is in Stalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't destroy the Anshei Sodom. This is really an act of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanis under the Rishoyim also. He should give them a break. Maybe they'll do tshuva. If there are enough tzaddikim in the city, they can have Ashpa and the others. Give them another chance, give them another chance, give them another chance. So Yoram, this is really not in the interest of Avraham Avinu. If you have Avraham Avinu living 2 miles away from Sodom, and he's trying to convince everybody to be kind and to believe in the one God in heaven above and to do Torah and Mitzvot and monotheism and all the good things that, and these people are evil, should be evil. They're the worst of the worst. Roy Mahatam Hashem Yod. And they're prospering and they're not being punished. But that's always a problem when you have Tariq Varal or Rosh HaTovlo. It's always a problem. People are very confused. You have you can't tell what's right and what's wrong. If this is wrong, so why doesn't God punish this guy? If this is right, why is he suffering? So here Avraham Avinu is not suffering. He did a great deal. He's not suffering over here. But if the Rishayim are prospering, the Tzaddikim are prospering, the Rishayim are say, it'll be able. You can do this room and you can do that. Just do whatever you want in this world and everybody succeeds in the world. So it's very not in the interest of Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already tells him he's going to destroy Sodom. Avraham Avinu should dance a jig. He should dance in joy over here. Bavai Rishayim Rina. He should dance in rejoicing that the Rishayim are going to die, and dance in rejoicing that he will now be able to succeed in being Mashpia more. That the whole time that Anshei Sodom are down the block, two miles down the road, and they're succeeding also, so this is hindering. This is taking away from his ability to be mashpia on people. If they would be destroyed, they'd be able obviously to give that loss. You see those people down the block? They were Roi V'Hatan Hashem, and Hashem punished them. So he should have been masking to the Baruch Shalom with Ma'adim, that they should all die, and he didn't. It's interesting that the Torah tells us, we're supposed to learn from the others. The stories of the others were written to teach us how we're supposed to act. Or how it's not supposed to act. Sometimes it describes what the others did and it says that they did wrong. But I mean, we shouldn't do what they did. It says that the Yankees had so many children and they had a favorite son, and then after that son was sold into slavery, then Binyamin was the favorite son, and the Pasuk says in the Chumash that all the trouble that we had from the Chiras Yosef was all because of the fact that the father had a favorite son. So the Pasuk tells us not to act like that, not to have a favorite child. You have to treat them all equally. So the Torah writes all the stories of the others to tell us how we should act and how we should not act. That's what it's written for. The Torah is telling us that we're supposed to be Balei Chesed to other people, even if it's not in our interest, even if it's against our interest. Somebody was telling this story, I think Rabbi Bunch people told the story last year about Rav Soloveitchik, that somebody came, Rabbi Scheinberger, came from the Missouri Carta to collect money in America. He used to come every year. He used to come to Rav Soloveitchik. the Rafaletik said, but he doesn't believe in their, he doesn't accept their position. He doesn't hold from their shittas. He said, but this money doesn't go for their shittas. This money goes for the Aniyim. He said, Rafaletik said, when I come to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to hang up posters attacking me. So he said, but it won't be for this money. Mm-hmm. He said, okay. So he gave him a check. He gave him a check for a few hundred dollars for the Aniyim. That's the thing. You have to give tzedakah to other people, even if you happen to disagree, if they're in need, even if you happen to disagree with their shita. You're not supposed to help the PLO kill Jews. You're not supposed to support the PLO to do averus, but to support people, to get them to be chayzer b'tshuva, like Oli Avraham Avinu says, give them another break, give them another chance, if they're atara tzaddikim, give them a little more alichas hapayim, a little longer maybe, they will be chayzer b'tshuva, to ask for another chance. Now, it doesn't mean that they should continue to do averus and never to bother them. Mara says, whoever says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatra and Yivatra Ma'oi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Marah HaPayim, is Marah Chaf, is Marah HaPayim, he waits and he waits and he waits, he gives another chance, but then at the end, he's the Marah Chaf of Gobi Delay, later on, when it's called the Kalakit, and then he does collect it, he does punish. Avraham Avinu isn't asking that God shouldn't punish, he just asked, give them another chance, maybe they'll be chayzer of the truth. Pasuk describes that after the destruction of the city Sodom and Lot's wife that it, died, she turned into a Netziv Melech. Lot's wife turned into a Netziv Melech. Some of the Mishnah say that she turned around and says, "Vatehi Netziv Melech." She looked at the Kikar HaYarden. The whole Kikar HaYarden had turned into a Netziv Melech. But the Gemara says not. The Gemara says the Lot's wife turned into a Netziv Melech. The Gemara has a discussion whether she's Metame or not. The Lot's wife is Metame. The Gemara in the end of Nida. A mace is Metame, but Melech is not Metame. So is this considered a mace or is it considered Melech? What do you mean? Is it a mace that looks like salt? Is it really... Parim Chadosh is all the time. It's not a mace anymore. There's no more boss of Adam over here. There's no more human body. It's Mamash Melech. So the Gemara says a mace Metame and Melech is Metame. The Gemara says that it's not Metame over here. Mar has such a discussion in the Haftarah also today in the Haftarah Parshas Vayero. But the Isha Shunamis has a baby and then the baby dies and then Elisha Novi brings the baby back to life. So the Mar has a shadow whether the baby, if he came back to life, was he Metame? Was he really dead? But Elisha Novi accomplished a trick that it looked like he was walking around, looked like he was alive, but he's really dead. But he's saying, no, he was really alive. Like the same Gemara. Gemara says, Hameis Metame, Achai Ein Metame. Gemara same that. Hameis Metame, Melech Ein Metame. It was really Melech and it was really Achai. It wasn't, they didn't do a trick that it was a mace that was walking around. He really became Achai. So the Gemara has the understanding of the pasuk that Eishes Loit turned into a Netziv Melech. So Loit didn't have any wife anymore. And the daughters of Loit thought that the whole world was destroyed. She thought in all honesty, they thought the whole world was destroyed. It's a pack of humorous. A lot of people make such a mistake. You read the Pesukim, it says the Feirish. Doesn't say that Lot really deserved. The whole world was intact. Just that city was destroyed because they were roim achatayim l'Hashem v'yoy. And in the schus of Avraham Avinu, Lot and his children were nitzal. And they made a mistake. And the children of the daughters of Lot made a mistake. They thought Avraham Avinu was wiped out and the whole world was wiped out. They had no telephones. They didn't know. And they thought that they were the only ones who were nitzal. They thought they were the tzaddikim in the generation. They knew that they were malachim saving their lives. They thought the malachim only came to save them and Avraham Avinu wasn't needful. Don't forget that. They thought that we have to do a little hatzolah activity over here. That the whole world was destroyed. Ishen was the love of Kedar Chal Haaretz. And the mother died, so Lot doesn't have his wife and they don't have any husbands. So they have no brayer. The din is chatei. Bishvil she yiske chavecha chatei bishvil she tiske. Olam chesed yibon. If you have no pasuk, there's no din of esed dechalaisati over here. You wouldn't say esed dechalaisati in order to keep the world intact, in order to keep mankind in existence, in order to keep humanity. You're allowed to violate the iser of bo'al bitai. The iser of gilui arayis of bnei nachal. The bo'al bitai is the pasuk. So it's not based on Ezra Dechelor Tetzah, but it's a different concept of Chatei Bishol Shetizkeh, Chatei Bishol Shetizkeh Chaver. Like in Shulchan Aruch they call it Legabi Esther. Esther was an Eishes Ish, and she went and she was Mezana with Ahasuerus. According to the Medrash, Esther was married to Mordechai. Even if she wasn't married to Mordechai, he was a good. And what was the Hetzah to violate that? In Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Truma Tadeshin, I think. It's also Chatei, for Habtolos Klal Yisrael, even though the din is that you're Horeg Bal Yavor, that you're not permitted to violate Gilui Arayis, even to save somebody's life. That's to save the life of one person, of 10 people, of 100 people. So we say that you're Horeg Bal Yavor. But if it's in order to save Habtolos Klal Yisrael, so then you say Chatei Bishol you're even permitted to violate Gilui Arayis. So that's what they did over here. The cheshbon was a good cheshbon. If the facts would have been ausgehalten, that Ishim Boaz Hashiyas Hashayol Ben Kedar Kalat, if the facts would have been correct, that they were the only ones who were nitzo, and the whole world was in a state of destruction, so then what they did was taki correct. And the Medrash says, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, here the Torah's name, of course, the Bishvil Lailacha Shekadmas of Bechira Litzira, because the older daughter did what they thought was a mitzvah. It turned out that it was really an Avera. Let's say someone looks like he's dying. Somebody faints and looks like he's dying. And we rush on Shabbos to Yom Kippur, we rush into the hospital and we start doing Malach in order to say it like that. It turns out he fainted. There was no Sakonat Nefash. But at the time we thought that there was Sakonat Nefash. Or the Gemara has a case, let's say they send somebody, the Gemara Menachos has a case in Terek HaVishma on the first day. There was a chayla and the doctor said he needs such a medication, go quickly. So the fellow starts driving to the hospital, Jews starts driving to the hospital, he takes with the money to buy the medication, and then he brings it back. And then by the time he comes back, he finds out that they already took care of the chayla, they didn't need it. And he was doing all these malachas after the chayla had already gotten better. The Gemara says that he's not chayv katas there. What he did was behesed gam. He thought he was taking care of the kraf nefesh situation. The family was saying, well, we healed of such a thing. But they thought that the whole world, they thought in all honesty, they made a mistake in judgment. They thought that the whole world was destroyed. Major mistake in judgment. They thought the whole world was destroyed. And they were the only tzadkanias with their father. They didn't realize that they would have been destroyed also, if not for the fact that Avraham Avinu was around the corner, down the block, and it's an exclusive Avraham Avinu. The whole world was still around. Avraham Avinu for sure was around. And they were the ones who were nitzon on his good. So Lefi Yadniyu Zaitam, according to their misunderstanding of the circumstances, they thought that they were doing a big mitzvah. And the Gemara says such a thing would be a mitzvah. If you're running to do Pikuach Nefesh, and it turns out that you made a mistake, so the Gemara says you still have a mitzvah. So that's why the Torah, the older daughter, was rewarded. They were both rewarded. The Bechira and the Tzira were both rewarded, but the Bechira was rewarded more than the Tzira. Bishvil Lailacha Shekadmos, the Bechira and the Tzira, Dachsa Vekadmos Arbo Adoros, the Yisrael Malchus. Each one had children, Amon and Moav, and then Amon and Moav later on found their way into the Bnei Yisrael. So Ruth HaMoaviyah was the great-grandmother of Dovid HaMelech. He entered Bnei Yisrael first, and then in later generations Namo Hamonis married Shlomo, I think. No? So that was later. Amon entered Bnei Yisrael four generations before Moab did. So that's because the Bechira deserved more, they both deserved reward, and the Bechira deserved more reward than the Tzira. They meant the Shem Shon. So there is such a cloud. You just have to know when to apply the cloud. A lot of times people in the curative activity apply this thought, Chatei Bishul Shetizke. They feel that they're accomplishing so much for Yiddishkeit. Not for them, the whole world is going to go under. Like the nice light, the whole world is going to go under.
but sometimes their assessment of the situation is accurate, and most of the time it's not accurate. Most of the time the world will not go under. It's important to be master one person with tshuva, even if you only get one person. Sometimes you have to be mekel there too, but it's not always, the assessment is not always so accurate that if I won't violate certain isurim, then I will, then we'll never be able to get this person to become observant. Sometimes you can get him to become observant without violating any other. You have to figure out under each circumstance, under each case, what is necessary. Anyway, this is the principle. We have a din like this in halacha. Chatei Digmar has it in a few places. Chatei Bishvul Shetizkir, Chatei Bishvul Sheyizkir Haber. The Chassidim HaRishayim used to do like that. In the beginning of the Hasidish movement, they used to do a lot of times like that. They would make hachamas for davening, and they would go to mikveh, and they would start saying tilim, and then by the time they would get around to daven shachas, they would be way after the Mantishma. On Lel Pesach, they would start making hachamas, go to mikveh, and start making hachamas to learn how to say it, and then begin to say it after chatzos. Things like that. Things like Kenegad did. And they felt, if they're not going to purify their hearts and purify their minds and have the, go to mikveh and have the right kavanas and the right intentions, the right motivations, then the mitzvah will be empty of value. And even though the Maisa, they did the mitzvah in such a faulty fashion, after the Zmanim, after the Zman Mincha, after the Zman Kriyashma, and so on, so they felt under the circumstance that the Tchin like Chatei Bishul Shetiske. You have no choice, you have to do that. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner attacks them, and says on Nefesh HaChaim, he says that that's not right. He says the halacha of Chatei, of G'dol Aver L'Shmo, the principle of G'dol Aver L'Shmo, was only applicable Kodem Matan Torah. L'Achem Matan Torah no longer applies. So the Talmud, Rav Asher Tiktina, writes in his sefer, there's a sefer called Keter Rosh, that's the Hanhodes of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, like there's a sefer of Maaseh Rav, the Hanhodes of the Vilna Gaon, that the Keter Rosh has the Hanhodes of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. This Rav Asher Tiktina wrote the Tzvarim on the Gemara. He wrote the Birchas Rosh, and Brachas and Anodim. Anodim is printed at the back of the Vilna Shah. Brachas, a lot of people use the Birchas Rosh. He said Shiurim of Volozhiner, the Chai Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He has in the Keser Rosh, he wrote that when the Rebbe wrote in the Nefesh HaChaim that Aveir L'Shmo is only Mutter Kodemat Torah, he didn't mean it exactly. He just meant that it's much less applicable to Zman HaZeh than Kodemat Torah. Because Nitzan Torah and Tchad Shalocha, Kodemat Torah had a right, more of a right to negotiate, because everything was the Torah saying in the Sulu Yer. So Lachamat Torah, they didn't still apply. Aveir L'Shmo still applies even after Matan Torah, but in a much more restricted fashion than Kodem Matan Torah. Because the Gemara does have cases. The Gemara says, Chatei Bishvul Shetizkir, Chatei Bishvul Sheyizkir Chaver. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Beis Yosef has a whole Shtigl Torah, and he paskens a din, based on this, he paskens the following case, Nisha, and then he has it in the Mechaber. He writes in the Shulchan Aruch based on, usually he writes based on what he quotes, the Sefer Shtim, and here he writes his own case. If a father was notified that the Christians took his daughter and they're going to take her to some convent and to convert her and to bring her up as a Catholic, he's permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos if necessary, to do whatever is necessary in order to save her from Shmat for the rest of her life. And even though it's not included in Pikuach Nefesh, the Mechaber holds that it's not included. It's not because Nefesh, because Nefesh is only if you've got to save someone's life, but to save someone from Shmad, the Chabah holds that it's not because Nefesh, but he still says that's the din of Chatei Bishul Sheyizke Chavercha. That sometimes, not only Bishul Sheyizke Ato, but sometimes also Chatei Bishul Sheyizke Chavercha. And he quotes in the Beit Yosef and Arichas, that's an Achleikus Tosis in the Rashba, in the beginning of Shabbos Dav Dalet, whether you ever say Chatei Bishul Sheyizke Chavercha, or only say Chatei Bishul Sheyizke Ato, the Beit Yosef paskens l'halacha that you do say. In certain rare cases, as to the very rare cases, we're really paying. The father should be Mechal Shabbos now, just one Shabbos in his life, in order that his daughter should be religious for the rest of her life, in order that the daughter shouldn't be taken away l'shmat. So the Beit Yosef used to say over the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, that he held that it's Bikuach Nefesh, that it's not just Chatei Bishul Sheyizke Chavercha, but it's Bikuach Nefesh Mamish. That's not the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Taz has such a lotion. There's a long Taz. And that's Simen. It's around Simen Shin Vav or something. One of the early Simonim, the beginning of the Hilchos Shabbos by the Malachas, is the Shin. But the Taz, in the middle of a long paragraph, writes such a loss, but it's hard to tell whether the Taz really means it literally, that it's pikuach nefesh, he's saving someone's nefesh, or he just means it as a melitza. He really meant to say that it's chasei d'shul sheyizke haver. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, and it has nafkaminus also the dina. Has not mean it's a din, because if it's only a din of chatei b'shul sheyizke havercha, that it only applies when it's very clear cut that it's really going to pay off. That I'll be mechal Shabbos this one Shabbos, and I know for sure that this is my child, and I'm gonna get my daughter back, and I'll raise her in the Jewish religion, not in the Catholic religion. So that's clearly going to pay off. But what if it's only stofek? Are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos? If there's a chance that maybe you'll be able to save somebody from Shema, maybe yeah, maybe no. But then you're also allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. If it's a din of Pikuach Nefesh, the self-Pikuach Nefesh is also the Chakol HaTarakula. But if it's not Pikuach Nefesh, if it's based on Chatei B'Shul Tizkeh, Chatei B'Shul Shizkeh HaBercha, then it has to be clear cut that it's a very good investment, like they said. Ishei Moritz, Lov Alena Kedar Kalart, there's no men left in the whole world. We have no choice, absolutely no way out of this dilemma.
They didn't know they would get pregnant.
We used
them as
an example.
Well,
how did
you
do the Chatei? We'll have a walk through them. Think that doesn't have to be the capital. About that work. Don't know. That's a good question. But that does say in the Gemara that in order to apply Chatei, it has to be a vadoya that it's going to pay off. I mean, how do they know that that they would ever have a child from the farm? But this is lachar. This should be like after Matan Torah. So these part of these gilui arayos, this was given already. Unless the benayich is muta debito. It's a machlekes in the Gemara. No, it's on Hedron, but the benayich is muta debito. So I think that it's not. I think it's not muta debito. I don't know. Weren't they? Yeah. Bir Mishana said they shouldn't. The Derech HaTeva, they shouldn't have become a Mubar. Don't know. They're all good questions. I don't know. That's interesting. The Benois Loik was so interested in saving the whole world, they were running to do Koch Nebesh for all of mankind. Then it turned out the whole thing was a joke. The rest of the world was still there. Just these four cities were destroyed. And then the pasuk says, Rashi comments on the beginning of Terekot, Ayisim Misham Avraham Arto HaNegev. Why? The whole world was talking about it. The nice Lloyd became pregnant. The whole world was there. They just thought that everyone was destroyed. The whole world was there. Kishiro, Shechorbo HaKrachim, what are they? Lehisrachik Milot, Shiyot Olav Shem Rashi, Boal B'naisov. Rashi says, the whole world was talking about the Bizoyim. That Lloyd was having such incestuous affairs with his own daughters. The rest of the world was still around. But from Busha, from the Bidyanis, Avraham Avinu had a, because it was his nephew. So he moved away. The pasuk says he went to, Avimelech Melech Gror. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to this, Avimelech Melech Gror, B'chaloyim Halaylo. And he tells him, Hoshabeshis to Ish Kinovihu, the woman is married. So the Gemara comments on these Sukkim, a lot of Sukkim like that. The Hibulas Baal, Tosin says also, Hibulas Baal. You see from the Sukkim that the institution of marriage, Thesis Kiddushin, doesn't only exist by B'nai Yisrael, it even exists by non-Jews. There is a concept of B'nai Yisrael by non-Jews. That's one of the Arayas of the B'nai Noyim. One of the seven mitzvahs in the Nerech is Gili Arayis, and one of the Arayis, Mechol Adayis, is in Eishas Ish. And since there is an institution of marriage, the Gemara just says in Sanhedrin, the Hebrew Ulaz Baal, that whereas by B'nai Yisrael you have three forms of Ishas, you have either Kesef, Shtar, Aliyah, by the B'nai Nerech, they only have Ulaz Baal, Yesh Lohem, Nichmu, Tuvu, Chupu, Velo, Yivalo, Ein Lohem, they only have Ulaz Baal. Then the Gemara and the Medrash Rabbis say that they don't have Gerishim. They don't have Get. When they want to get divorced, they don't have a gift. So what do they have? So the Yerushalmi has two opinions. One opinion is that they just can't get divorced at all, period. Once you fell in, get stuck for the rest of your life. You marry that girl, you have to stick it out for the rest of your life. And the other opinion of Yerushalmi is no. The Rambam said, both the Catholics followed the more strict opinion. And the Rambam followed the less strict opinion for the Goyim. that the Bnei Noach have Gerishin, they don't need Bixav. They have Gerishin Baal Peh. Not that they don't have Gerishin at all, but they can never get divorced. They can have Gerishin Baal Peh. The husband tells the wife, goodbye, good luck, nice knowing you. Or the Rambam quotes, also the wife can tell the husband, goodbye. I don't want to remain. Either he or she can initiate the divorce, and the divorce is Baal Peh. That's what they quote in the name of Rav Chaim, I think, that the Pasuk says, when Avimelech is justifying himself to Avram Avinu, he says, hey, so when he justifies himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Chaloyim HaLaylo, Hashem, HaGoy Gam Tzadik Tarog HaLohu Amali Achosihi V'hi Gam Hi Omra Ochihu. So they quote the Shem Rav Chaim that he said, Hu Amali Achosihi. He divorced his wife. That was the Gerishin. He said it's his sister. He denied that this was his wife. He came here, and it was even a double divorce ceremony. You have a double ring ceremony, you have a double divorce ceremony. He said, I'm not related, that's not my wife, and she said, it's not my husband. Even if Avraham Avinu would want to retain his wife, but she said, Achihu. The Ganiyam Ra Achihu. So she also divorced him. He divorced her, and she divorced him. The Italian is an Ishkanashish. The Ganeshwam says, no, she is an Ishkanashish. They only said that in order that they shouldn't get killed, but they really wanted to remain married. The dinim of Ishes Bnei Noach are not exactly the same as Israel. You don't have, the Gemara says, you don't have Erisin and Nisun in two different stages. You just have Ishus, and you don't have Kesef and Shtar, you only have Diyos. They quote in the biography of the Avnei Nezer, when he was a very young boy, he was very, very sharp. I think the biography is called Abir Haroin. So they quote that when he was a little boy, his father was a big rabbi, his father was a tamchom. So his father went to Eitz Makasha, when an Odom Arishon got married to Chava, who were the Eidim Lekim Adoma? There was nobody around. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that the Kiddushin is only Chal if you have Eidim Lekim Adoma. There's nobody around. How was the Kiddushin Chal? So as a little child, he said a Harif, as he said, the Gemara asked in Kiddushin Daf Samachem Teich, why do you need Eidim Lekim Adoma? Why don't you say, Hodoaz Baldin Kimei Eidim Dami? So the Gemara says, because it's Chav Lachrini. Because other people would have the opportunity to marry her, and now you're marrying her, so it's Chav Lachrini. But if there's nobody else around, so there's no Chav Lachrini, so then my daughter's bothering can substitute the native for Kim Adam. That's what he said as a little child. That's good, the little boy is very good. That's the sharp answer. The real answer appears in the Rambam, beginning of Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam writes the Feirish. Koyim Matan Torah, that's how the Rambam gives you the history of the institution of marriage. Koyim Matan Torah. And then Hoyadim Pagay Yishabashuk, if he wants to give him his honor with her, if he wants he can marry her, and how does he marry her? Diyo and Kesef and Shtar is not kinda. And then he says, and the Diyo doesn't need Eidus Lekim Adavar. By Ishus Bnei Noach, it's different. There's no Gerishin Bikzav, and she can do this, she can initiate the divorce process. There's no Kedusha Kesef and Shtar, so even the Kedusha Diyo that they have is also different. So I know that there's no need for Eidus Lekim Adavar. Then the Rambam writes, then the Torah was given, and all the dinim would change for the Bnei Yisrael. You have three forms of Kiddushin, and he says, and now, from now on, you have to be Mekadosh B'fnei Eidim. So from the Rambam, it's clear. He doesn't write it explicitly, but if you read the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Beis Gimel, in order, from the contrast, he makes it obvious that the institution of Eidus Lekim Adavar was only required. After Matan Torah, there was no need for Eidus Lekim Adavar. The Gemara has a din that there's no species kiddushin if a Jewish man gives a ring to a shikta, and it says Harat Mekudeshes, or a Goyish man gives a ring to a Jewish girl. So the din is that there's no species kiddushin. The question is, there's no species kiddushin as we know it, a ring. But what about this Ishus Bnei Noach, that everybody, all of humanity, has this in common? We can have Ishus, we can have fancy high school Ishus. They can have plain down-to-earth marriage. They can have plain old issues. So maybe this kind of issues you can't have even in an intermarriage. A Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, or a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man. Maybe Enki Dushin Tovkin means that you don't have our form of issues. You don't have issues Bnei Yisrael, but maybe issues Bnei Noach you would have. There's a wild tshuva like that. The Chemda Shlomo wrote such a wild tshuva. He thought that there was. They had it printed in the tshuvas of the Beis Meir. They were all contemporaries. Rabbi Kibega, the Chemda Shlomo, the Beis Meir. I think Rabbi Kibega was a cousin of the Beis Meir. Chemda Shlomo was not related, but he was a contemporary. Chemda Shlomo was the Rav of Warsaw.
But Kevek lived in Germany. So he used to correspond. And the Nesivis lived in Leipzig. He used to correspond also. They were all contemporaries. So Chemda Shloimeh writes this in a tshuva, a wild tshuva, that is the case was there was a non-Jewish woman who was a maid in a Jewish home. And she was so used to living with Jews. She spoke a little Yiddish and she knew all the Jewish practices. She knew what kashrus meant. And then she was living with a Jewish man. And then somebody, Aruch, came to the Jewish man. This was on the farm. They didn't have any... It wasn't in a big kehillah. And then when this plain balabas mentioned to the rabbi in a local city that he's living with this non-Jewish maid, he said, "What, are you crazy? How can you live with a non-Jewish woman?" So the man realized that he's doing wrong and he left town. Discussion in the Chemda Shloimeh, she was married to the first husband. She was a shiksa. No, it means that there's no tefisas kiddushin. Our kiddushin. So explain all this kind of issues you can have. And since she had an affair with the other Jew in between, so she's a seita asur labayla. Seita asur labayla. And an intermarried couple, she was a shiksa. Seita asur labayla. So even after she converts, she's not allowed. Wow, a whole wild story over there. So the one who printed this, in Yerushalayim around 15 years ago, learned probably in Yerushalayim Yeshiva or something. So he put in the footnotes on the bottom that he asked all the rabbonim and Eretz Yisrael, they know pshat and this tshuva hamikol, and says no one knew what in the world was that he was talking about this. How do you have such a thing? There are some other rabbonim like that who say that when you have an intermarriage between a Jew and a non-Jew, there's no ein kiddushin tosma, the ishin b'nei noyach, that you do have, that we all have in common. That you can have issues in the noyach, and they even say that mashikon tisha kana bailo applies to the intermarried couple. Mashikon tisha kana bailo. That's all wild. Mashikon tisha kana bailo is a takana de rabbanon. That's not a dinner. Chachamim made a takana de rabbanon on an intermarried couple. That's very strange. The pashtus is that the whole thing is dead wrong. When you have intermarried, you don't even have the basic elementary issues. The aloha that there's no tefisas kiddushin between a Jewish person and a non-Jewish person. It's not only that you can't have the highfalutin level of issues that we have. You can't have anything. There's no relationship. There's no kurva. It's from the same pasuk that the Gemara learns that there's no tefisas kiddushin between a Jewish person and a non-Jewish person, that we learn out the din of pipashtus, that we learn out the din of gershin isgar kotin shenol adonim. Why? Let's say you had a brother and a sister. They're both not Jewish. And then one of them converts. So the minute one converts, so that one is Jewish and the other one is non-Jewish. At that moment of time, they're not related anymore, because Allah says you cannot have any kurva. There's no, you can't have a relative. You can't have non-Jewish relatives. A Jew cannot have non-Jewish relatives, a non-Jew cannot have Jewish relatives. It's just impossible. That's the same thing. If there's an intermarriage, there's no thesis issues at all whatsoever, because you can't have any kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So it's the same passage that tells you the din of Gershon is God, Kotten, Shonel, Dhamim. When one person converts, so that person is Jewish, the other one is non-Jewish. And even if the other one converts 2 seconds later, you can't become a brother and a sister at the age of 35. A brother and a sister you have to become at birth. So at birth they were brother and sister. Then there came 1 second in time that one converted before the other one converted. So at that time they were not related anymore, because you cannot have any kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. But then even though later on the other one converted, and now you could theoretically have kurva, but now if they'll marry each other, the brother will marry his sister, so there won't be any problem. Now there'll be a kurva. You can't resume the issue, you can't resume the relationship of the brother and sister now. So the pashtus certainly is that it's all wrong, that you can't have any issues here.
That's all of his assumptions, yeah. It's a very wild assumption. It's an assumption on top of an assumption. He has more wild assumptions than that shuva. That's before he was the Rav in Warsaw. That shuva when he was the Rav in a little city. I don't know. That could be. But in the official shuvas in the Chavim Shlomo, you don't have such wild shuvas. The shuvas Chavim Shlomo are Mekubal Mioi. This one appears in the shuvas of the base mayor. In a correspondence with the base mayor. Very shvacha shuva, very shvera word, what he said. Torah tells the story about Isha Achas and Bnei Hanavim coming to Elisha and Ovin complaining, Ishi Meit, my husband died. V'ato yodaita ki avdecho hayo yoreyas Hashem. My husband was a great Yirei Shemayim and he owed a fortune of money. V'amno shebo lo kachas v'shnei lodai lo lavodin. Rebbe says that it was her husband was Avadya Hanavi. Talmud about Elisha. What do you mean? What kind of business is that? The husband owed money to take away his children as servants, as slaves. The Torah is right to Masechus Avodah, because the one who was the king of Medina Yisrael at that time was a secular person. He was an Eved Avodah Zarah. He was a Melech Rasha. So instead of following the Dini HaTorah, he followed the British and the Turkish law. He followed the Goyish law. So the Goyish law, that's the law, that if you don't pay the money, they're going to take you as a slave. And if you don't, then if you're not alive, then they take your children as a slave. Literally, what the Osamath writes is literally Shibud Haguf. Literally Shibud Haguf, they take. And the Halacha says not so. It says, Vinimka Bignei Vasai, Veloi Bechoivoi. The Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim that if a Ganav stole and he doesn't have to pay, then the Pasuk says sometimes, yes, sometimes, no. The Markedushin has all the details, so sometimes the Halacha says, that the Bezin has the right and the obligation to sell him in order to pay up the Gneva, in order to pay the carry. You don't sell him to keep as long as you carry. So the Mechilta comments on that part, called Vinimka Begneva, so below the Chobo. If he owes money, there's no debtor's prison. You don't put him in jail. By the Goyim, they used to have debtor's prison. We never had such a thing. And you don't sell him as an Eved Ivri either. You only sell as an Eved Ivri, Begneva, so even Big Zela you don't sell as an Eved Ivri. The Tal Ashkenazi, I think, says one day. The only seller is an Eved Ivri. I don't remember if that's the same Shemar. Maybe it's enough. But you don't sell an Eved Ivri, Big Zela, only for Gneva, only for the Karen half of the Gneva, not for the case. But anyway, the government in Eretz Yisrael at this time was the Malchus HaRashah. So at that time, the Psukim say in Novi that they were hiding out. 100 Nevi'im were hiding in two different caves, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave. And Obadiah HaNavi was the Shamiz of Elisha HaNavi. And Elisha HaNavi said, go get money. Where was he going to get money? So he used to borrow money. He used to borrow money in order to support the Nevi'im. That his job was so simple. He died. He got a heart attack and he died. So he never paid up all the money that he owed. So HaNosha Balakachas Shnei Yavodei Lava. They're going to take away his children as slaves to pay up the debt. They were all Jewish people over here, but they were not in observance of the laws of the Torah. Elisha HaNavi says, well, what do you have in the house? Mayesh Loch Rabbayis. So she says she has nothing, she only has a little container of oil. She says, good, take the oil and start pouring and pouring and pouring, borrow all the kalim and the navy. She poured and she poured. So the Zohar asked the question, why did the Taz, quotes on Hilchos Brichas HaMazon, why did Elisha HaNavi ask her what she has in the house? Why didn't he just wave his magic wand and she'd have $5 million under the bed? She's making a net anyway, so what does he have to do? So she has to be matriach to the old lady to go get all the containers from the neighbors. So the Zohar has the comment on this pasuk that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created things the Yesh Me'ayin. And then it says, Vayom HaShvi Shabbos Vayinochash. What does that mean? He relaxed, and then Sunday he went back to work. No. Vayom HaShvi Shabbos Vayinochash means that from that time on, he didn't create any more Yesh Me'ayin. From that time on, everything is Yesh Me'ayin. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be maskin to Elisha HaNavi, to whoever, to the Sherebet, to a Tzadik, whatever, to make a Moses, to make a Nes, it's not going to be a nest of Yesh Mayayim, it's going to be a nest of Yesh Mayayim. So that's why you have to ask, my Yesh Lofa Boyez? She said she only has a tiny little bit of oil, so it's okay. So that's the expression that the Zohar uses. The Broch is not Chal, cannot take effect. A pastora reikanya, an empty table. Pastora is a table. And that appears in the Gemara also, on the end of Sanhedrin, the last parak. The Gemara has a minig, a very, very old minig. The Gemara mentions it, the Gemara writes that it was from the days of the Nevi'im, that when they would recite Birchas HaMazon, they would leave some bread on the table. Why? Because in the Birchas HaMazon, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Fanatena v'chalkaleinu, give us food for the next meal. So if you have no food at all in the house, so then what are you asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring you food? Yesh Mayayim. If you have food, so the bracha can be chal on the food that's there, because it's not a pasara rekanya, it's not an empty table. That's an old minig, this mana gemara. They just, in Shulchan Aruch, they discussed what happens if you finished eating all of the bread, and it's time to bench, and then you don't have any bread on the table. Is it proper or not now to take some bread, have some bread in another room, to take some bread in order to put it on the table? Because there was a practice that used to have, when Avodah Zarah, that was named God, there used to be Ha'orchim La'God Shulchan, they used to set up a table of bread for the Avodah Zarah of God, and they wouldn't eat the bread. Bread would be for the Avodah Zarah. And maybe putting bread on the table, not for the purposes of eating it, is a minig Avodah Zarah. So that's the discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What do you do in such a case? But they say the proper practice is that if you want to have this, you want to eat two slices of bread, so take three slices of bread on the table, eat two, and leave the third one. Doesn't mean to throw it out in the garbage. A lot of people have a new minig. That they eat and they always leave something over. You have to leave something over. But then what is the mother going to do with leftovers? They throw it in the garbage. So that's not what it means. It means you should leave on the serving tray, leave something over, put it back in the refrigerator. Not to leave something on your plate and throw it out in the garbage. That's not proper. Unless you stop, or you're not hungry. But then instead of saying baltashkus on the food, and more than baltashkus on your body, is more important than the baltashkus on the food. A lot of people make that mistake. They think that the baltashkus on the food is machomer than baltashkus on the body. The Gemara says not. Baltashkus the gufei yodislei. The Gemara says in the end of Bava Kamma, Dirk Hachoyva like that. But the Taz quotes the Zohar. The Taz makes such a comment on the nusach that we say. In Ma'os Tzur, we say, in the Noisa Kankanim Nasa Neis Lashashanim, it's only because there was Noisa Kankanim, there was a little bit left over in the container. If there would have been no oil left over, then the Nes Chanukah wouldn't have occurred. Nes could only occur. If you have oil that's enough to burn for one night, then the bunch will make a Nes, it'll burn for 8 nights. But it's not going to happen a Nes that there's going to be no oil, it's going to come oil Yesh Mayayim. Torah tells another story that Elisha Hanavi was invited to be the guest of the Isha HaShunamis, and he asked her, what can I do for you in exchange? She was Machna Zerach by him. She was very kind to him. She told the husband, Atamir Elisha, the Isha HaShunamis tells the husband, Hinei no yadaiti ki Isha l'kim kodeshu oivar aleinu tamid. He's a very holy man. So the Gemara discusses, how does she know that she was holy? She saw holy things by him. So that's why she said, we should make a separate room, not so long, we should make a mikvah, a shulchan, an earth, a kita, we should be machmas zarech, and they did. And then an appreciation, so Elisha Navi asked, what can I do for you? In exchange, so she said, nothing, what can you do? So Gehazi mentioned that she had no children. So she promised, he gave a promise that she's going to have a baby. Then she has the baby, and the baby died from a sunstroke. And she didn't tell the husband that the baby died, and she rushes to Elisha Navi. The husband says, what are you running to the Navi for? Nothing, she just runs to the Navi. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah comments on this pasuk. Madu at holechet hayom hayom. You can infer that if it wouldn't be Chodesh for Shabbos, it would make sense to go visit the Rebbe. So the Gemara learned that in this pasuk, the Chayav Adam, the Hakbol Pnei Rabba Baregel. You have to visit the Rebbe on the Shalosh Regalim. So the Mephoshim on the Gemara, I'll ask, where do you see Shalosh Yom? It says, L'chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos. It's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. It doesn't say a word about Shalosh Begom. So some give all kinds of fancy interpretations. They quote in the name of the Zohar in a pshat that runs as follows. That we have such a similar expression like L'chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos in the end of Yeshaya. So what does that mean? Vayom midei chodesh b'chodesh midei shabbos b'shabbatah. So there's a yalpid shimoni, and that pasuk at the very end of Yeshaya, which says that la'asid lavoi, that's after all the haftoches. The first half of Yishai writes about the Churban, and the second half of Yishai writes all of Nachum and Nachumam. He talks about all the Nechomas, what's going to happen in Noit HaMashiach. So it says in Noit HaMashiach, Ohayom Yidei Chodesh B'chodesh Midei Shabbos B'Shabbato, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will repay the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael, for their inability to be Oyla Regal all of the years on Sholosh Regalim. And we were davening to Hashem Yisbarach, He should give us this Chiba, Halein on the Tzorcha, Samchein Ibn Yono, and we should... and we didn't have the opportunity to. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity not only to be Oyla Regal on the Shabbos Regalim, even on the Shabbos. That's why it says, V'hem Yidei Chodesh B'chodshoi, V'idei Shabbos B'Shabbatom. So the Magen Avraham, in his commentary on the bottom of the Alfred Shimoni, explains that according to this Medrash, obviously, the Medrash understands V'idei Shabbos B'Shabbatom is not referring to Shabbos, but rather referring to Shabbos Regalim. Because the Medrash doesn't say it's going to be Aliyah L'Regel on Shabbos. It just says, not only will it be Aliyah L'Regel Asi Lavoi on Sholosh Regal, it will be Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh HaChadosh. So you understand Shabbos B'Shabbato as referring to the Sholosh Regal, like the Prophet says, Machas HaShabbos. We count Sfira Tanim and Machas HaShabbos, which is Ruach HaMishim Yom. So Shabbos then means Yom Tzitz, Regal, so here also. How can that be? What does it mean? Asi Lavoi is going to be after a mitzvah that didn't exist before. The mitzvahs are not going to change. The Rambam writes one of the Ikori Amunah. So the mitzvahs are not going to change. The only mitzvah that's going to change is the one and only mitzvah that says in the Torah that it's going to change. There's going to be 9 or a mitzvah instead of 6. After we're going to have a hoikiach, Rasham al-Kachas Kibucha, Rambam in the end of Hilchas Melachim writes. The pasuk is better. Kiach Rasham al-Kachas Kibucha, when we get to Kenik, Nizi Kadmoni, we have Safta Lacha, Ot Shalosh Olim, Ot Shalosh Olim, Ala Shalosh Olim. You add on another 3. 3 in Eretz Yisrael, 3 really in Eivra Yardin, and 3 in Gadbi Lassus Lavoi. The Rama says that's the only change. Everything else is going to stay the same. That's one of the Yudgim and Ikori Amunah. So Zalat HaTor Laisi Mochlefet. So what does it mean that Lord Kedol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us an opportunity to make up Tashlum and to make good all of the Aliyah Regal that we didn't do in the past? We'll be able to Aliyah Regal on Rosh HaKadosh. What kind of Mokna Din is that? So B'chayra, what it implies is that there was always an institution of Aliyah Regal in the past on Rosh HaKadosh. It was like a mitzvah of shoes. Well, whatever it sounds like. It was always a mitzvah of Rosh. That Rosh Chodesh is mentioned together in the parasha with the Yom Tovim. The parasha is Simcha. So just like on Sholosh Yugovim, the Zechiv Aliyah Regal, the Kedusha Sayyim of Rosh Chodesh is also such a type of a Kedusha Sayyim, that it lends itself to Aliyah Regal. The Marsha has such a comment on the Gemara, the end of Bav Mitzia. The Gemara says, and Eliyahu Hanavi used to come to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe's yeshiva, to learn. So one fine day he came late. So I think the Mashgiach asked him, or Rebbe asked, whatever, someone asked, why do you come so late? So he says, well, today's Rosh Chodesh, he had to go to Maris HaMachpelah, and he had to daven with the Ovis HaKadosh. So he had to wake up Avraham Avinu, wash Negelvas, and daven with him, and put him back, tuck him back into bed. Then he had to wake up Yitzchak and wash Negelvas, and tuck him back, he had to daven, and tuck him back. So then he has to wash, why'd you come so late? Shaita, why don't you wash everybody together, daven all together? He says, no, it's all daven together, it's all daven for Mashiach. And the Rabban Shalom will have to answer their prayers. And he doesn't want to bring Mashiach. So that's why the Rabban Shalom gave instructions to make sure that each one davens separately. That's why there's a minig now to go on Rosh Chodesh to daven by the Maris HaMachpelah, based on that Gemara. To daven for Mashiach. So the Mashiach has a comment on that Gemara. Mazda, why you have this punkt on Rosh Chodesh? Why does Eliyahu Navi go on Rosh Chodesh to go daven at the Yom Kippur? He says that apparently there's an Indian of Aliyah L'Regel that everybody has to visit the Shechina certain times during the year. But he says it's not only, and he quotes this Pasuk, not only are they Oyla Regel, the living people, not only are the living people Oyla Regel on the Yom Tovim, on the Sholosh Regalim, the proper thing is to be Oyla Regel on Rosh Chodashim as well. Even by the dead people, they also, the others also want to have an encounter with the Shechina. Oyla Regel means to have a rendezvous with the Shechina. So they want to daven with the Rabban Shalom, want to daven, speak to the Rabban Shalom on the Rosh Chodashim, apparently in addition to the Sholosh Regalim. That's how the Mashu understands the Gemara. So just to put this all together, there is a tshuva in the Nei Yehuda, which is quoted by the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheter at the end of Chilek Kain, the Mishnah Berurah, I think maybe on the left page. He discusses the din of Chayav Olam Lahakol Pnei Rabba Beregel. The Gemara says clearly that it applies to even Bizman HaZeh. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about Bizman HaZeh. He used to go visit the Reish Galusa, and he had to say he was like the chief rabbi of all the Jews who lived in Bavel, and he used to go travel miles on Chalamoy, Sukkah. He used to travel a day to visit the Reish Galus, and the Gemara said he used to sleep chutz in Sukkah because the whole Chemitzvah, Surah Menah Sukkah, he used to do mitzvah, but not mitzvah. So what was the mitzvah? The Rosh Hashanah, Chayvah, Mahakol, Pnei Rabba Berech. And the Rebbe Yehuda has a famous shuvah where he writes that as long as the din is only the Rabbanah. The mitzvah, Menah Torah, Chayvah, Mahakol, he says that it's the mitzvah, Menah Torah, but he says the mitzvah, Menah Torah, Mahakol, Pnei Rabba Berech only applies is Mansha Beit HaMikdash or Yekayim. When you're visiting the Beit HaMikdash three times a year, so then it makes sense to say you have to visit the Rebbe also three times a year. But if there's no Beit HaMikdash and you're not visiting the Shechina three times a year, so it doesn't make any sense to say that you're obligated in HaTorah to be Mechabed the Rebbe more than you're Mechabed the Shechina. You don't visit the Shechina three times a year as Man HaZeh. We're not Oyla Regel to Yerushalayim as Man HaZeh. So I can say that you're Mechabed to visit the Rebbe three times a year. So he's the first one, I think, who makes this relationship. The Mahakwaf and Rabbi Beregel is related to the din of Ali Ola Regel. But one will assume that Ali Ola Regel always existed in Rosh Hashanah. There always was like a mitzvah sereshus. There is such a thing, a mitzvah sereshus. Rashi Lava, the Rabbi Shalom says, if you want, you can make up all the Yom Tovim that you missed. The Ola Regel on every Rosh Chodesh, because you always had. It's not that he's going to change the mitzvah. There always was such a mitzvah sereshus. If you say like that, then you can understand very well this thought. It could be that that's what the Vilna Gaon meant, because the Vilna Gaon said that these two psukim are related. That the husband tells the Isha Hashunam is Madu Ata Alechata Ilov Hayom, Lo Chodesh Lo Shabbos. If it would have been Chodesh or Shabbos, they wouldn't have been Nicha. Why she's going? Why? Because not only is there Aliyah LaRegel on Sholosh Regalim, there's an optional Aliyah LaRegel on Rosh Chodesh. And whenever there's an Indian of Aliyah LaRegel to the Shechina, then there's a parallel linear of Ali Ola Regel to the Rebbe. Maybe that's the Pshat over here. They say when the Chassam Sofer was a young boy and he was learning in Frankfurt by Rav Nosson Adler, that he would often come very late to davening. He would come after Aleinu. I think the Chidor writes that expression, that he met him. I think the Chidor traveled around, he was a Meshulah for Yeshiva and Eretz. He traveled around all around Europe, and he wrote a whole travelogue. He published all of his travels where he visited, and which he always visited all of the libraries and all of the countries where he went, and he copied over all of Kisayah, the Miri, and so on. So I think he could be that he writes that when he visited Frankfurt, could be he writes that he met this young man, and they said that he's very promising, and he used to come after Aleinu. Ish Kodesh over Aleinu Tomit. He always comes to Shul after Aleinu. I know a lot of holy people like that. In Yiddish folklore, they have such a story that the women were waiting in the butcher shop for their turn to buy the meat. And then all of a sudden, one woman walks in, and the butcher takes care of her first. So all the other women say, hey, we're waiting here so long. Stays as close to this woman come first. No, her husband is a Chabadnik. So they didn't understand what's a Chabadnik. Why, the butcher was also had feelings for Chabad. So they said, what's a Chabadnik? So what's he going to explain to them? So he didn't know how to explain it. So he said, well, when he davens, he leaves out a lot of the davening. Because the Lubavitcher leaves them out. They leave out a lot of sections. So one of the earlier women said, so my husband doesn't daven at all. she should deserve more kedima, if that's the definition of who's holier, the one who leaves out to the dami. Her husband leaves out to all dami. Parsha describes the difficulty that Avram and Sarah had in raising their son Yitzchak. That they had to send away Yishmael. It was his own son. Matei Sarah is ben Haga Hamitzvah Sashiol Dovi Avraham Nitzachek. And now she says Lashon Avodah Zarah, Lashon Gilei Arayis, Lashon Ritzicha. Tzachek is all the terrible things. And she didn't want, Sarah didn't want that miserable kid to have a negative influence on her son. It's not so easy raising children in a non-Jewish society. So they sent away Goresh and Ben Ha-Mahazot, Kilo Yerashim Bini Yim Yitzchok. So the Poroshim all discussed why, and Avraham Avinu listened to her. Poroshim Bofa tells him, Poroshim Tamei Lecha Sarah, Shema B'Kailam, she listened to Jewish Sarah. In Frankfurt, they always quote that passage. Sora is the Rosh Hashanah Shimshin of Foil Hirsch. Whatever, call it Shatamay Lacha. Sora, whatever Shimshin of Foil Hirsch has, Shmavuka. But that's in Frankfurt. Frankfurt. But the Parsha, leaving out Ramazan, the Parsha tells a significant lesson that people have to be very careful with Chinuch HaBan. The Parsha discussed, why does she say, Im Bini Im Yitzchok? Why the case of Loshin? Then, Ki Lo Yirash Ben Ha'amazot Im Yitzchok. Or in why the double lashon? Different interpretations. They quote in the name of the Brisker Rav a comment based on a sifra at the end of the Teichach and the Chukoisan. The Chach is B.C. Yaakov, the Apis B.C. Yitzchak, the Apis B.C. Avraham is quoted that there was a bris with the Ovoim. That the Shbokh would never wipe out the Jewish man. That there's going to be an Umah Yisraeli coming up from their descendants. So then Sifra comments on that pasuk, was the bris only with the Ovos, or was there a bris with the Imahis as well? So the Sifra says no, it says S Avos, Chati S B C Akhbe, Akhbe S B C S, but S is Marba, the S is always Marba something, the S is Marba over here, the Imahis. In other words, there was a Krisis bris, not only with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that the Klawis all would come out from them, the Krisis bris was also made with Sora, Rifke, Rachel, Galea. That the Klal Yisrael would come out from them, so the priest's bris would be marked. That's how Rav Elbel interprets the pasuk later in Bereishis. When Yaakov Avinu thought that Yosef had died, and then they were going to take, then they wanted to go down to Eretz Mitzrayim, and they said that Tzafnas Paneach, his goy, they didn't realize that that was Yosef, Tzafnas Paneach, the man in charge of all the food, the prime minister of Egypt, won't let us come unless we take Binyamin, because he's closer that with spies and so on. So Yaakov Avinu starts to cry his heart out. So he says, what do you mean? Atani datan, you know, kishnan yod ali ishti. You know that my wife Rachel only had two children, right? Yetzer echad mimeni, one was killed. He thinks he was killed. And now I only have left in Yomen. And now you're going to take Binyamin. The world's going to come to an end. So why does he have to give him a whole spiel, a whole akdama? Say, I don't want my son. He's afraid his son is going to die. What's the whole akdama? You know, my wife had two children. Yosef died, now Binyamin. The Pashup shot that he loved that was his favorite wife. And that was his favorite shot. This is his favorite shot. So Rav Elbel has an additional interpretation on the Pashup. So he says that the bris with the Imahis was made with all of the Imahis. So Rivka, Rachel, Aleya. So Rachel was one of them. So Yosef, he thought, was gone. So the Klal Yisrael is not going to come from Yosef. So it's only Shechem Klal Yisrael is going to come through Binyamin. So he says, you're going to take Binyamin. That's going to be the end of the Haftacha of the Rabban Shalom. Shnayim yolded liishti, she was one of the Imahis, Rachel, and Yosef died, and the Haftacha was that Klal Yisrael is going to come from all of these others than Imahis.
I'm sure
there's a Haftacha,
there's a
Haftacha
that at least one of Rachel's children will fail off.
Okay, so what was he worried about? So you have that Haftacha, I don't know. But that's how they quote in the name of Rav Elbel on this person. The name of Rav Elbel says over there also, Binyamin already had 10 children. The letter says, I mean, when he came and he met Yosef, he had 10 children. And then Yosef asked him, what are the funny names? So he says, all the names are named after my brother Yosef. Rupim, Kupim, Orad, all the names. So what was he? even if Binyamin would drop dead, even if they kill Binyamin, the Klalis are still going to come from Binyamin. He says, no, but Binyamin had to be a Shevet. They weren't Shvatim yet. See, fudges a little bit over there. The also has to do with that Yisro. And the end of the Chukaisai, that the bridge, the Kreis's bridge, was not only with the others, but the Imaris as well. I remember after Rav Soloveitchik, his wife died. So he was very broken. After his wife died, he was very broken. Till the last day, he never overcame that tragedy. So one of the early drushes that he gave after his wife passed away was about this, about that Kreis's bridge was not only with the others, he shouldn't make a mistake with the Imaris as well. He quoted other psukim to indicate that it was something. So the Bris Gerov, maybe after his wife died, maybe he said it's shot, I don't know. So the Bris Gerov said on this pasuk, that she said, Ki lo yirash ben ha-mazot in b'ni, in Yitzchak. In b'ni means, because the Haftacha was made to me, that the Klal Yisrael has to come from me, not just from you. If the Haftacha would only be given to the Ovoi, so it could be that Yishmael, is going to have the Klal Yisrael coming from him. But no, she says, the Haftacha was made not only with the Ovoi, the Kreis's Brit was made with the Imaris as well, so it has to be one of my descendants is going to be the head of the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Saita, when they want to give a mashal of a shikr who's not responsible for his actions, shikr does an averus, he's not punished, the shikr makes a kinyan, so it's not valid, it's in Kaddish and Isha, it's not called, he gives a get to his wife, it's not called, nothing. So they give the typical shikr as a shikr shigil shiklusa shalik. That's the lashon and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Shikr shigil shiklusa shalik means absolutely stone drunk, whatever the expression is, doesn't know what he's doing at all. The Layada Bishikh Babakumma, Imamish doesn't know what he's doing. But if a person is shikr, he's tipsy, but he does know a little bit, then it's not so kosher. Then the Rambam writes, talk with his Yashid Dova. It's not so kosher. You have to determine whether he's really acting with Da'at or not. There's Maloha Kher Shaita Bikotn is a lot bar Da'at. Then you have a person who is a bar Da'at, but he's not able to express Da'at at the present moment. There's a shikr. Shikr is not called a la bar Da'at. Let's say a man appoints a shliach to give a get to his wife. And then he's so aggravated over the fact that he's divorcing his wife, he starts drinking, absolutely drunk, and then the shliach gives the get. So if the man appoints the shliach to give a get to his wife, then he's nishtate, then the Mishnah says the shliach cannot deliver the get when the husband is a shaita. So the shaita cannot have a shliach. Not only can a shaita not appoint a shliach, the shaita cannot maintain a shliach, even if the shlichus was set up earlier when he was a badan. But if a person is a shikr, the flesh of shot, most of the Rishonim hold, the Yad Raman Sanhedrin holds not on the Daphne and Zor. But most of the Rishonim on the Daphne and Sanhedrin say not like the Yad Raman. They say a shikr is a badas, he's a gavar badas, but he's not able to express that as his mom. Let's say a person is sleeping. Let's say a person walks in his sleep and he talks in his sleep and he's in Kaddish and Isha in his sleep. They say, no, the Kedushin is not Chal. Why is the Kedushin not Chal? Because they're La Bardas. No, that's not exactly the correct Lashon. A person who's sleeping is a Bardas. The Gavr is a Gavr Bardas. Just that he's not able to express Das at the present moment. That's Shaila Takan. Mar has a Machlekes, Misha also Kurzaikis. It's a Machlekes in Gittin. Rabbi Yechon HaMishlokish, whether Misha also Kurzaikis has a din like a Shaita or no. Since it's Tamei Biyodot, since we have drugs that we can give him to remove his state of inability to express that, then maybe that's not called a shaita. Maybe that's called like a yoshen. The yoshen dami, that's like a shikr. So that's the machlekes of the Echon Rish Lofish. The Raman Tatsun Taka and that Gemara, Mishal Sukudaik is only a shaita midirabonon, the chumra. Menatera is only like a yoshen, like a shikr. It's not considered a shaita. Some Achronim wanted to say, if a person, the Gemara talks about a person who is eating chol and eating shaita, sometimes he knows what he's doing, sometimes not. So the Gemara says, "Is manchu shaita, areki shaita mechadra, is manchu tikech, areki tikech odra." The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in the third parish. So some Sfatim wanted to say that one is an eating chol and eating shaita, he cannot label the gavra as a gavra vabradah. how can it be? But sometimes he's about that, sometimes not. So it's only that during that period of time when he's not able, when he's eating shaita, then he's like a yoshin, then he's like a shikir at that time. Some hold that you cannot really label him as a gavra la bardas. How can you label a gavra as a gavra la bardas if you know that he goes in and out of these moods? Every other week he's normal, and every other week he's mishuv. Every other month he's normal, every other month he's not normal. That's a big shaiva in this. Bechemin has a discussion about that with Nachkeminis Lalocha, that you get, you have to write a new get over again. If he's mishtat in between, then you have to write a new get over again. But if he just goes to sleep in between, then you can give the get even when he's in a state of sleep. So the Yitzim Chol and Yitzim Shaita is just considered a temporary inability to express das. It's not that he's really considered a gavra la by das. Then you can even give the get while he's sleeping, while he's in a state of inability to express das. Anyway, but this week's Sedra is the typical. Shikusa Shalait is in the Gemara and Erevin, in the middle of Erevin, in the Shulchanot, the Rambam Shulchanot. That's the typical example of one who is temporarily unable to express that. Shikha is he's not a Gabra Labadah, he's not a Shaita, but he's temporarily unable to express that. And if he's not so Shikha, it's less, then the Rambam says, Tzoch Lizyashu B'dobra. Because the Gemara just gives the two extremes. Normal person and so drunk. And he wasn't saying in between, where do you draw the line? But the Rambam says it's not easy. It's questionable.